It's the Bald Spot with Jeffrey Baldinger.
Hello, and welcome back to the Bald Spot with Jeffrey Baldinger. I, of course, am Jeffrey Baldinger, and this is...
the Bald Spot with Jeffrey Baldinger.
Here we are, episode 6, and we are still in the mix.
We are still in the mix.
A lot has happened this week, and I will not be getting into it, as this is an amazing episode that I want to get right into, so there's going to be very little preamble on this one. But also, I don't think you tune into...
the Bald Spot with Jeffrey Baldinger.
For current events nonsense. Especially if you've listened to me talk about current events on past episodes, you know that that's not really for us. But for brevity's sake, I will give you some bullet points as to how I've spent this past week. I just joined this new social media app called Clubhouse. It's actually pretty fun, and I really, really wanted to hate it. Like, I really, really wanted to not like it and have so many bad things to say about it, but I actually like it a lot. It's pretty useful. I've made more money on that app than any other social media platform. I'm talking 89 cents, y'all. It's pretty great, and I don't like that I like it so much, but I use it a lot. And so if you're on there, give me a follow. At Jeffrey Balding R, apparently 15 letters is too long for your username, so I had to take out that last E, so that people would still be able to pronounce my name correctly. That's at Jeffrey Balding R, JeffreyBaldingR, at Jeffrey Balding R. Yeah, and that's honestly the newest news that I have for you. Other than that, it's the same plate, different dish. I really enjoy making jingles for you each week, doing jokes, writing sketches, singing songs. This podcast is everything that I'd want a radio show to be, and it's a podcast, which is kind of a radio show, but in podcast form. And not to be all like, oh, this is serialized storytelling, but...
last time on The Bald Spot with Jeffrey Baldinger...
I gave you guys a riddle to figure out, and I had some good guesses, but no one has selected the correct answer yet. So here is another clue for you. It is my favorite animal of the sea. What's that? Oh, is that not a good clue? Because you don't know what my favorite animal of the sea is? Well, if you knew, it wouldn't be a clue.
It wouldn't be a clue.
Would it? No, it would not. And I'm sorry, but that's all you're getting. As well as another clue that the animal rhymed with one of the words that I just said in that last sentence. So, if you want to figure that out, you gotta take out your pen and your piece of paper or your notepad on your iPad and write out what I've just said in each sentence and figure out what thing rhymes with what other thing from the sea that you know of. It made sense if you don't think about it. Did you write any riddles for this week? Because if you did, I want to hear them. Send them in and I'll read them on air, give you a shout out. I'll try to figure them out. TheBaldSpotPod@gmail.com. I want to hear from you folks, but... truth be told, despite everything that I've just said, I don't have too much preamble for today because I've been waiting for this episode for a long time. I'm so excited. We're not going to be doing hot takes today. I know y'all love some hot takes.
Oh, you love some hot takes.
But we're pushing past them today. We're skipping over the...
song building segment.
And we are going to discuss the...
thought experiment. Oh, yeah.
Next week, because we got a couple of great guests today. These are my favorite people in the world. But before we get to them, there is one segment that I will never skip over. There is one segment that will remain a constant in this podcast, as it is my favorite thing, bar none. And it is your favorite thing too, trust me when I tell you, it's the jokes. Let's do some jokes. Let's get into the jokes. Croquet, a game rich people play, or something a Canadian frog says? Based on history, I have to think that every time a new word was decided upon, there was one person who was just vehemently against it. Okay, so to describe a large amount of our species, we're going with people. Everyone cool with people? Everyone good? People? No. What does that even mean, people? That sounds so stupid. I say we call ourselves Gorpulon. Why? You mean Zank? We agreed upon why last week, Eric. Maybe you did, but I certainly did vent. I'm a living, breathing Gorp. Person. I clinked what I clinked. I recently found out that I wasn't an essential worker, and I think I finally understand how regular oil has felt this entire time. In 1952 today, the first pedestrian walk, don't walk signs were installed on 44th Street and Broadway in Times Square, and to this day, no one in New York has noticed or cared. In 2006 today, George W. Bush visited Delhi, and tens of thousands of people have protested his arrival there because he didn't take a number. Those were the jokes. Those were the jokes. Short, sweet, fast. You loved them. I loved them. But now I get to introduce you to my favorite people. I wanted this show to be a little bit more international. I wanted to broaden my horizons as well as my listeners' horizon and give you a glimpse into the international life of three different people from three different continents. Not that they're incontinent. I mean, we were in a continent when we met, but we were completely out continent, gastrointestinally speaking, the entire time. But we are wholly unique individuals with, as was put to us, the same amount of crazy. I, of course, am referring to myself, Australia's Joshua Boise Boys, and Holland's own Jeroen Dutchy Westerman. That's Jeffrey Boise Dutchy from the States, Australia, and the Netherlands. We are Triple J, and I've not only known these lads for 13 years, but it is exactly 13 years this week that we met. So these are three different people, three different continents, three different countries, three different J's, the same amount of crazy. Triple J, we've been friends for 13 years. We've maintained an international friendship that just goes beyond my comprehension for how we've remained this close. Please enjoy this conversation. I certainly did. We talk about and go through a lot of old pictures, so I realize for our audio listeners, which is the majority of us, it's going to be a little bit frustrating at times, but those pictures will be available via our Instagram page, so follow The Bald Spot Pod on Instagram. That's at The Bald Spot Pod on IG, and I will be putting portions of this interview up on our YouTube page as well, so subscribe to my YouTube page, Jeffrey Baldinger's YouTube page, and get that exclusive content. In the meantime, welcome, lads. Dutchy Boise, how you going?
Well, this is the first time I've caught up where I'm not drinking, and Dutchy is drinking alcohol. Yeah. And it feels like the world's been just tipped upside down for me. I don't know.
Well, would it be right side up? Because
yeah, exactly. It's where people wear hats on their feet and burgers eat people, right?
Every rumor you've heard about Australia is true, is what you're saying, right? The drop air was the first lie that an Australian told me. So I got to Australia February 15th, 2008. And the first thing that somebody told me was, hey, I know you've probably heard about a lot of Australian animals, but the one that nobody really tells you about is the drop bear. You kind of gave this whole spiel, and so many people were taking it really seriously. And they're like, wait, really? And the more questions they asked, the more our tour guide was like, I could see him stifling a laugh and trying to give answers. I was like, all right, I got to figure this. I got to figure out what a drop bear is. And I realized it was real. Everybody that is listening, a drop bear is absolutely real.
It's real. And we've seen it. We've seen it on Kangaroo Island.
Exactly. Exactly. We saw it on Kangaroo Island, which is also a real place, by the way. I know that sounds like a made-up place, like Kangaroo Island. Are you kidding me? No, that's a real place.
The most unbelievable thing about this story is that there's a place called Kangaroo Island.
I know. But then I wanted to write a documentary on drop bears. I still have it written up. But I just need to get back down to Australia for us to film it.
Well, look, what I'll also love about this story is just the extent of how Australians can be complete assholes so early to their American visitors. You know, just immediately off the plane, fresh, still jet lagged, just like, hey, have you ever heard of this mythical animal that's going to fucking take your head off?
The best part is that it was just a prank that the whole country of Australia is just in on. And it's just everybody's, any Australian that you ask down the street, regardless of if you know them or not, they're like, hey, have you heard of a drop bear? Oh, mate. Oh, you got to watch out. Don't go in the brush, mate.
And Dutchy, did anyone actually, I don't think I've ever asked you this, but did anyone try this drop bear shit on you? Or did they were just like, oh, this guy's European, it's not going to work?
Oh, look, I was there when they were trying it on Jeff. We were at Kangaroo Island.
Oh no, that was the second time. I'm talking when I got off the flight. I was on Melbourne International Airport, got off the flight. Jordan, our Canadian tour guide, immediately was like, you gotta watch out for drop bears. You gotta watch out for drop bears. That's what you gotta watch out for. And that was the tour. That was before I met either of you. And so how I remember meeting the two of you was I met Dutchie first. I was walking around campus, and I think Cassie was taking me around, just introducing me to everybody, because I came like 2 weeks before school had started, and she took me to meet you.
Yeah, you were pretty shy.
I was pretty shy. Yeah. She took me to meet you. You were living in house H, right? You were like H1 or something, H1. Right?
H1.
Yeah. And you were sitting outside, and it was evening time, and it was like Della was there and Cassie and forget who else. And they were all names that I heard and understood. And then you were like, oh, Jeroen. And I was like, excuse me? And you go, my name's Jeroen. I was like, I couldn't hear you. And I just couldn't hear you. I didn't hear what you said. And you were like, just call me Dutchie. I was like, okay.
Dutchie.
And that night, because this was all around this time, I think it was like February. It was between February 15th and the 20th. And we were going out that night, and I met Josh, your brother, first.
Ooh.
I knew your brother first. We went out to not St. Kilda. Where was it? Where did we go out that night?
It was St. Kilda.
It was St. Kilda.
I was so keen. I was busting my balls to get out to St. Kilda, just because I was like, right, it's going to be a sick night. It's my birthday. Let's get large.
So I had no idea that it was your birthday. I didn't know that you existed. I was just hanging out with your brother and Cassie and Stephanie and a few of the other international students that had come in that week, and I think Mel was there and a few other people, and Dutchie I think was out with us as well, and we were all partying and having fun, and I noticed you just kind of hanging out with us. I didn't know who you were, so I just thought you were some dude. I was like, who is this guy? Like, I didn't get introduced to you at all. And then I was like, but he's just a fun Australian bloke, whatever. He's just having fun. But then you followed us back to our dorm campus.
Ooh.
I was like, is this dude? I don't know what's going on. Does he live? Like, what is this? and then I found out that you actually lived there and were friends with everybody, and it was your birthday celebration. I was like, oh, I'm the idiot. I'm the fucking idiot.
That's a long time to be thinking that too. I've just realised, if for anyone that lives in Melbourne, St Kilda to Burwood is a really long drive.
Yeah.
I was so confused. That's how I remember us all meeting. Mm. So happy early birthday to you, sir. And it's 13 years to the day. Josh, I'll go to you as the birthday boy. How do you remember all of this transpiring? I want to hear from you. I want to hear. First, how did you and Dutchie meet? How did you and Dutchie meet? Because you guys met before I did, right?
Well, yeah, that's right. So I think for whatever reason, we were sitting at the front of my unit of G4. And for some reason, everyone would just hauled their chairs out to the front, which is just a really obscure place to be drinking. But true to form, Australians will turn any sort of arena into a drinking circle. So, Dutchie, being half Australian as he is, came to join us, got chatting, took me 2.7 seconds in attempting his name as well, where he just sort of stopped me and went, no. It's Dutchie. So, just sort of carried on from there. But I still struggle to remember how and why I was just able to entice just so many people that I'd only met minutes ago to come out to St. Kilda with me. So that's where I wanted to be on my birthday. So it just seems to be that a maxi cab of Americans and other internationals just launched themselves into the Esplanade with me. And I'm pretty sure my brother was the only person there that had known me more than 2 months. Everyone else was either, I think it was just a random hodgepodge of assholes and my brother, and everyone else it was like a Tuesday night and just could not be fucked coming out and celebrating my birthday with me on that exact night.
That's so funny, because from my perspective, you all knew each other. Like, me and a few of the other international girls were the new people coming in, and all of you guys were just like, oh, we're entering into this new established friend group. I wonder if this is going to be difficult or how opening it, when really everybody didn't know who anybody was, which is hilarious. Dutchie,
yes.
Jeroen,
yes.
Let's hear your perspective, because first of all, the confidence at which you were just like, I know that Australians and Americans and Canadians, you're not going to be able to get my name on the first try. Let's just go with Dutchie.
Well, it, 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 you don't need to tell your name twice. And you're like, what's your name? And you say, Jeroen. And they say, what? Jeroen, what? Dutchie. And if you get that 3, 4, 5, or 20, or 100 times, you just go, what's your name? And you just say, it doesn't matter. Just go Dutchie. Let's have a beer.
That's the most Australian attitude I've ever heard. It doesn't matter. Let's just grab a beer.
I've met so many people in Australia, and I still don't know who they are. I don't know their names. And Boise probably has the same. Like,
you're
like, oh, yeah, Jonesy, yeah. What's his real name? I don't know. I've known him for 20 years. I've got no clue. Jonesy, it's just Jonesy.
Well, that is a good point, because it's like good friends. I've had this theory, is like really good friends, people who like really know each other, don't know any small talk information about each other
nothing.
Because it just doesn't matter. Like we don't talk about the small talk. We don't talk about where we work or what is going on with the weather. We talk about whether or not we think parrots are the devil. Like we don't talk about anything.
Yeah, exactly. I've just got a forced entry of a special guest.
Ooh.
It's a bit of a surprise one.
I'm excited for the special guest.
I am excited.
Oh, John Boys.
Jeffrey.
Oh, my God.
What's going on?
It's so good to see you. There? John Boys, Papa Boise, Josh's father, is in the house. Welcome to the Bald Spot.
How's it going over there?
We're doing good. How's it going down? How's it going down there? Visiting the grandson? Visiting the son and the grandson?
Yeah. Keeping an eye on them.
Oh,
I'm teaching how to say Papa, not Dad.
Opa, and that's
oh
your
my God.
Opa.
Zadie in Yiddish. If you want to Zadie. Oh yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. I'll remember that.
Absolutely. How Zadie? You get, like what's happened? How is Josh living up to your expectations?
It's a bit of a battle, but you know, we're getting him up there.
We're just talking about the first time that the three of us all met. You visited with Josh into Los Angeles a few years ago. How many years ago is that now? 8, 9 years ago you came to America?
9 years.
Nine years. So Josh and his dad, John, came to America, visited me when I was just a baby stand-up starting out in the world, and came to, of course, a brewery where we were doing an open mic called Westwood Brew Co.
And we bought a van together.
Yep.
Remember that?
Oh, yes. Bought a van
Please
to take
tell
across
me
the
that
country.
Story.
Bought a van to take across country because you flew into Los Angeles.
Right.
Bought a van. Yep. To drive to New York and sell the van.
Yeah, that's it.
You bought the van, Jeff, together.
No. They bought the van.
He took us. He took us looking.
I took. Yeah, we went van shopping together. They bought the van. We went van window shopping. I hadn't heard of anybody doing that before. Was just like, yeah, we came here with no car. We're gonna go cross country. We're gonna buy a van. Cross the country and sell the van and fly back to Australia. I was like, that's the most amazing thing I've ever heard. I love that idea. It's incredible.
And when we were driving the van, that poor bloke, he thought we were going to bash him on the head and steal his van. He didn't know what was going on. He nearly lost his shit.
Yep.
How are you guys coping with all this COVID over there?
Oh, I mean, well, you know, we like to be number one in this country, so we are spreading positivity. We're spreading positivity whenever we can, and but we're the vaccine's rolling out now, and so a lot of people are getting that. I don't know if you guys got the vaccine down there. They're trying to do a rollout, but I think anybody who's over 65 here can get the vaccine, and then medical professionals and whatnot, essential workers like your liquor store employees and whatnot.
It's amazing how they stayed open.
When this happened, it was like, oh yeah, anybody who sells liquor is essential. It's
how many times haven't you told the liquor store employee you're a lifesaver?
Thank you so much
for giving me beer.
I appreciate you.
You just saved my life. Well, there you go.
You need to go and get a shot. That's it.
Yeah. You need to get a shot and a shot, please. I'll take my shot and a shot.
That's right.
And numb the right, pain of that shot with another shot.
That's right. I'll put you back to Josh.
All right. Good to see you, guys. Great seeing you, John. Yeah. It's so good to see you, buddy.
This is amazing, this podcast stuff.
It's good, isn't it?
I love it. And this is actually, I want to talk about, this has saved my mental stability throughout this whole thing, is talking to these guys every week for the past year now. We've been doing this for a year, talking every Saturday and Sunday, just rehashing. It's been great because the last time we saw each other all in person was 2018 in Edinburgh, which was the first time that all three of us had been together since 2008. So this has been amazing.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. All right, I'll put you back.
All right. Good seeing you.
That was amazing. That was so good.
That was the best surprise guest we could have gotten. Good old John boys.
We've got the whole crew down from Wodonga helping us rework this house. And unfortunately, while Saba Boys was working in his construction flip-flops, he struck his foot with his hammer. So he's feeling a bit tender today.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough when you. Yeah, I tell you, it's rough. I tell you. But that's the first night that we all met, we got a picture right here. The first night, I believe this is all of us in St. Kilda.
Certainly looks Esplanadish.
Oh yes, I still have that hat. Yeah, look at us.
No, it's a good photo. All
of us, it is the most normal photo I think we have, the three of us together.
I've always been jealous of Josh's chest hair, and in this photo you can just see it's that little patch of chest hair, and it just, you know, there's more. You know, there's a lot more.
It's like insects with upside down letting their legs come out of my top.
Yeah, it's like a spider crawling out of your shirt. I've always been jealous of people who are jealous of chest hair.
Yes.
I wish I could wish for something that I don't have a lot of. Dutchie, for you, what was the culminating thing that just kind of bonded us forever? That moment. And that's a deep question, but it was like it was all within that first week that really solidified us, I felt.
Well, I was already in Australia for I think 6 weeks or something when I came to Deakin.
Yep.
I think I was maybe the first international. I think Josh had a week of introduction to being a, what's the name? You were like
you're the RA,
RA. Yeah. Resident assistant. So I think there was like an introduction week for the RAs where they got trained how to be an amazing RA, and Josh was best in class.
Of course.
And I was there. I was already in the house. I was by myself. I had a massive house. And I think all the RAs felt a bit sorry for this one Dutch guy who was sort of like, you weren't allowed to come to RES already as an international student, but you weren't supposed to, but it was allowed. And I was there like Monday morning, 9 a.m. I was allowed to go there, and I was there, 9 a.m. sharp, bum. Everyone was like, you're early. You can just come back Wednesday or Thursday. Like, I'm here now. It's 9 a.m. on Monday. I'm here. Felt a bit sorry for me, I think. And so I was just sitting there, and all the RAs came like, okay, you want to have a beer now? Because we're finished with our training. And I was like, yeah. So I don't remember too much of that first week because I was intoxicated pretty much half the time. And the rest of the half I was sleeping because I was hungover. But
that reminds me a lot of when we didn't need to do stuff, you always wanted to do it, Dutchie, because there was the moments where the RAs were putting the freshmen through their, like, waking up early and doing that, like, adventure. What was the adventure? Well, it was like a scavenger hunt.
It was so good. We were waking up by like pots and pans slammed, and everyone was like, oh, I don't want to wake up. And I was like, yay!
And I was like, and it was very much, and Cassie, bless Cassie's heart, she was like, you don't need to do it. You don't have to. And like, she, because both you and Cassie did, like, banged on my door, and it was like 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. And I was like, I was not having it. I was like, no, this is not happening. I don't know what this is, but it's not happening for me. And I opened the door, and Cassie's just like the sweetest person in the world. She's like, hey, we're doing this thing. It's for the freshmen, but you don't have to do it. And as soon as the words "you don't have to" left her mouth, I just shut the door on her face. bed. But then Dutchie just bursts in, is like, "You're doing it. We're both doing it. We're going." And I was like, "Oh fuck! All right, fine." And
I'm. But the thing was, I knew it was going to happen as well. I knew it.
Yeah, and I had no idea. But I'm so glad you did it, because that was such a fun, such a fun experience. I got a picture of us right here.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping for this photo. I was hoping for this photo.
Yep. That's me behind the water gun. We had, and because we were not freshmen, we were allowed to have the water guns as well to keep people in line.
Which wasn't filled with water. It was like fish oil and shit like that.
Yep. It wasn't water. It was. And we did Chubby Bunny as well with marshmallow. We had a Chubby Bunny competition. Chubby Bunny, for those of you that don't know, is where you stuff as many marshmallows in your mouth as possible and try to eloquently say Chubby Bunny.
Just a point for people that can't see this is how fantastically red Dutchie's pants are. Yes. Only covered by some dainty pink panties.
We're wearing garbage bags and hair nets.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing sandals. I didn't know that we were going to be running all over the city. I'm wearing sandals.
You look great. Really,
you look the most appropriately dressed.
This is so good.
Everyone's in fucking like.
Look at this, and then track this picture.
You see me?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you fucking red pants and your pants.
Everyone is.
You're taking your panties off,
and I'm shitting.
You're firing. So all of the RAs came up. We're at the bottom of a deck. We're being overlooked by the RAs, you know, Josh, Cassie, everybody else. And they're throwing water balloons filled with like fish oil, disgusting type of grime at us. And Dutchie's the only one who has the water gun pointing back up and is just shooting back up at everybody. It's like, you'll never take us alive.
You see 40 people running away, and you see one person facing the opponent and shooting back. I am an absolute hero.
This counts towards the American adage of the only person that could beat a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
And we're still all running out.
Look, I'm hiding. I'm actually hiding.
Now you're hiding. I know for the audio listeners, this is really fun hearing us go through the pictures that you can't see, but...
Just think of South Bank, Melbourne, along the Yarra, very picturesque usually, now absolutely taken over by people wearing trash bags and smelling like fish oil. Jeff, can you go back for a second? I think you got a picture of Linda Wilkinson. So she's a famed Australian national treasure who's now on Channel 10. The Today Lady, exactly. She used to host the Australian version of Today.
And then she was there during, and this is February 29th, so this was a leap year. This was February 29th, 2008, that all this was taking place. And this was the picture of us doing Chubby Bunny. That's me and Nick.
Did you win?
And me having the gun.
Yeah, you won.
And there they are.
Oh, the pack of RAs.
Oh, look at this.
These fucking pack of RAs here.
That was February 29th. It was a fantastic first. Like, that was another bonding moment that kind of solidified us as a unit, because Dutchie and I, not being RAs, we made it really difficult for you trying to hold us all in. We were like leading revolutions in this, like, we don't have to take this. Let's fire back. Let's do this. No, absolutely not. We're not going to follow these rules.
But we were the same age as the RAs, or even
right,
older.
Exactly.
So that didn't help the RAs.
Well, here's the thing, right? So when I was being considered for the RA role, I was a bit of a wild card selection because I got up to a bit of shit my own first year. And I was threatened to be kicked off campus at one point, not from the university, but from the college where we were living.
You were?
Because I was like climbing up onto the roof and just being a drunken asshole.
We did that a few times.
Exactly. So, like, when I got the job, so I applied for it. I was like, this is going to be a cool job. And I remember the manager calling me and going, you know what, Josh, you're a bit of a shot in the dark here. We want you to be really well-behaved or whatever. I was like, oh, yeah, sweet. Don't worry about it, Kerry. I'll be well-behaved. You know, I'll be a great leader, that sort of thing. I just still feel like I was. But then two mental fucking crazy people from different corners of the globe come into Melbourne. I'm like, oh my God, so much fun.
Yeah, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, the MRA rollers, buddy. I've got this phone and this radio and this compass, and I've got to lead the pack. And then, God damn it, Satchi's got some panties on the outside of his fucking pants. Let's go.
I just can picture as if you're it's a TV show, and your boss is like, "All right, Josh, and we're gonna give you this chance. We don't want any mess ups, okay?" Cut to three different continents, three different craziness. Let's go crazy. Let's jump on the roof.
Let's be honest. You are the most responsible.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean. And,
yeah, definitely.
We'll tie that into fatherhood.
I mean, in particular back then, absolutely. You were the RA. We were just brand new to the country. I didn't know anybody down there. I just went in and I was like, all right, let's see who relates to the energy that I'm putting out. And it was you guys. It was the two of you that just responded and raised. If it was poker, I put in my hand and then Dutchie just like, I'll raise you the whole fucking
double.
Pot.
Let's go double.
And boys, you were just like, oh, triple or nothing. Chance.
No, I feel like one night, and this is probably a little bit later down the track, but I feel like one pretty paramount night for us was when you were dressed as homeless man, Jeff.
Homeless man.
That felt like a night of crazy drunken shenanigans and dancing on places that should not have been danced on.
Absolutely. Well, let me pull up a picture real quick.
What are we looking at?
Well, what I'm looking at is pretty much two lifesavers, and these are two people that in times of corona would have been vaccinated first.
To explain to the listeners a bit more, so you got Jeff, who's in a shitty, terrible mask, and
think of any of the superheroes on Hollywood Boulevard or Times Square in the before times, that's kind of how but like even worse than that was my costume.
Well, look, you're sometimes a product of your environment, Jeff.
That's exactly
it. And to highlight that point even more is that night we weren't just at our own parties. We were going into the licensed establishment dressed as army people, as yourself,
and
obviously.
Superheroes. And
lifesavers.
Pushing up and down poles.
Heroes. Yeah.
Dancing on tables, dancing on speakers.
Those people are heroes now. We were heroes then.
And we weren't greeted with scorn. We were greeted with drink specials and $2.50 vodka Red Bulls.
Yes.
It was a moment of pure joy. The costumes were inconsequential to the attitudes that we had that night. It was like, let's put on whatever and go out and be us. Because that's really what we always did, was we were just us.
We were.
In whatever different clothing we decided to wear that day.
Yes.
Just look at us suave motherfuckers right here.
I'm wearing this pink shirt and a light blue shiny...
We got fedoras on. I got a plaid sports jacket.
Are you smoking a cigar now?
I think I'm maybe pretending that it's a cigar, but it's actually a microphone because we were doing karaoke as well.
Yes, we were.
And I have aviator sunglasses on. Like, we were very Australian suave.
And what's wonderful for me as an Australian is that Dutchie's drinking a Crownie.
Yes.
And for those not from Australia, Crownies are the fucking a polished turd of beers that you distribute to your friend's dad for Christmas, basically. That's the only time you're buying them. It's the only time you're drinking them. Somehow Dutchie's found a slab left over from the last Christmas in February, I'm guessing, or March, and he's just having his way with it.
The obstacle course through the city of Australia was on the 29th. March 1st. I feel is when you and I really solidified the bond, because that was, and Josh, unfortunately, you weren't a part of this for whatever reason. You weren't there that day.
But he was RA. He was responsible.
He was being an RA. We went to the Chatsworth Mall, and because Nick had been obsessed with this thing called the Pounder Challenge, which I had never heard of. He kept asking me about it. The Pounder Challenge, I had never heard of it, but it was a thing that you go to McDonald's and you eat 4 quarter-pounder patties on one bun, and it's a pound burger of McDonald's. And March 1st will forever be known as Pounder Day. And we just had a night out where we went to the Chatsworth Mall. And it was confusing to me because they were giving out free champagne samples, which was like, this doesn't happen in America. What is this? Just free wine and free booze just at the mall. Just like, yeah, have a drink.
Or you need to be a responsible adult. So apparently that's you guys in this story.
And then this is what happened is I found a piano and I decided to go up and play, nobody knowing that I could actually play the piano. And then all of a sudden I did. And it was in the middle of a mall. And I just started busking. And Nick and Dutchie took my hat around and just started collecting money from
You're going too quick because we were walking and we had a fun afternoon.
Yeah.
And indeed, you saw the piano and you said to me, shall I play? And I was like, oh, yeah, you go ahead and play.
Not knowing if I could play or not, he said, yeah, of course.
I met you like a few days before. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, sure, man. Go ahead. Go make a clown out of yourself and yeah, do it. It's busy enough. So go for it. And he started playing and he started singing. And there were actually people, you can see it in this photo as well. There's people actually watching you and then people turning around and people smiling. And
I played Rocket Man by Elton John, the first one that I played.
And you just played everything. And then I said to John, I said, maybe and Nick, maybe we should just put down one of our hats and ask for money. And but we were a bit shy at the beginning, so we just laid down the hat on the floor in the mall and waited. And some little kid came and put on a dollar or some little small money. And then
real quick before you continue this story, this picture that I'm showing up is me playing, and then behind me are a group of probably 8 to 10 year old girls running around in a circle, like dancing in a circle, because their father came up to me and it's one of their birthdays. And I had been playing for maybe 20, 30 minutes at this point, and I'd been playing Beatles songs, Elton John songs, Ray Charles songs, you know, like any number of songs by Billy Joel, all that stuff. And the dad came up to me and he put $10 in the hat. And he goes, do you mind? It's my daughter's birthday. Do you mind playing Happy Birthday? And I didn't know how to play Happy Birthday.
You told him. You told him. I don't know how to.
I'll play a birthday song in tribute for your daughter. Like I tried sounding it out. I just played like Crocodile Rock, which is super complicated. And then I was like, I tried to sound out Happy Birthday. I was like, Happy Birthday, Happy Birthday. I was trying to find the keys, and I was like, I can't do it. What I'll do though, I'll do a dance number. I'll do a like a dance song that they can dance, and it'll be like a birthday song for. And I just started playing "What I'd Say" by Ray Charles.
What I'd Say.
Hey, birthday, don't you treat me wrong. I just started changing the lyrics and stuff like that. It's just like
they loved it.
They were dancing in the background, and the dad came up to me, gave us another $5. He's like, "Oh, that was beautiful, mate. Thank you. I was like, "No worries."
The story is not finished yet because I was going around with the hat asking people for money for the piano player because, you know, he's a good piano player. People putting money in the hat. And so these two guys walk by and I go to them and say, oh, have you got some money for the piano player? And they go, can I see your license? I was like, what license? You need a license for busking in Australia. And I was like, I didn't know that. And they put in, I think, $2 or $3. And they said, well, look, we're lawyers and we know the rules and you need a license. And if someone comes here and asks you for a license, you don't have it, you're in trouble. So good luck with the money. But you get it. I went to Jeff. I had the head. I went to Jeff. I said, Jeff, I think we're done here. I think we should go and you should stop playing. And this.
So you did come up to me and you said, I think we're done here. We just got paid to get free advice from two lawyers who say that we're doing something wrong. And I said, well, did they tell us to is anybody officially telling us to stop? And I think you said, well, no. And I was like, well, then we're not done. And then here's because how we ended up being done was the mall started blasting music in the food because we were in the food court and they just drowned us out. The mall said, you're done now.
Corporate Australia fucking
put us down. But then we had the money. We made $40 in an hour, $40 and 80 cents or whatever, $40 dues. And we were so happy.
We jumped in the car and
then we went to a liquor store and bought a case of Pure Blondes
from the money.
And we documented the whole thing, and it was all in change. And then that's when we did the Pounder Challenge. We went to McDonald's, and we were very excited for it. So the Pounder Challenge, as I said, was 4 quarter-pounder patties, and it's a large meal. So large Coke, large French fries, or large whatever drink it was. But we decided, Nick, and people blame me for this, but it wasn't me who did it, because I'm the American, people think that it's my idea. It was Nick who had the idea to add the chicken nuggets.
Yes.
So we added a so it was the pounder and 6 nuggets.
Everything was Nick's idea.
That day, what it was, because he was the driving force behind Pounder Day. He wanted to do it. I was all in on board 100% of the way. Absolutely. I think we all were. But when we
I wasn't.
You weren't, but you did it.
I did it.
Because in your heart, you actually were. On board. You're like, I don't want to do this, but say yes to life. And this is what we said yes to. Look at that.
Oh, God.
That is disgusting.
That is 4 quarter-pounder patties, and in between each patty is 2 chicken nuggets. So 6 6 nuggets on a quarter-pounder with cheese patty, with cheese on each patty, plus a large fry and a large drink. And we all finished, or I don't think... Did Lachlan not finish?
Nah.
There's you.
This was my last bite. I was so sick.
But we all finished.
Well, maybe not we did.
Somebody didn't finish, but I then, being the stereotypical American, and I got to one-up everybody on this, is after we were all done, because we finished the whole thing, I went back in and got a small vanilla ice cream cone to cleanse the palate.
You did,
and I say cleanse the palate because it really annoyed somebody that I said, I'm going to cleanse my palate with a vanilla ice cream cone. It's like, that's not how cleansing your palate works. That's not what it means. And I was like, I'm just going to cleanse the palate with a vanilla ice cream cone.
With another flavor altogether.
Good day.
That was a good day. That was Pounder Day. And that really, for me, definitely solidified our relationship, Dutchie, as far as like we're going through all of this together. And that week, from the 15th to the 1st, was like our initiation of the three of us just being like, all right, this is going to be the craziest 8 months that we're going to have together.
Was there like, is this the moment where we should start talking about the photo of Giuseppe and / Lupich?
No, this is a lot of pictures that we're talking about, and I'll try to make sure that people who are listening have an opportunity to see all these things. But there was another party. It had to have been mid-semester, I want to say, because we had been we'd had the relationship.
The love was
the love was strong. The love was strong.
Yes, we were established party people at that stage,
and it was true. Like we were established as the people that when we were at the party, it was like, these three are going to make this into something different. And this picture really encapsulated that energy that we brought to each other and to the people that were around us. And I think it's the truest encapsulation of the line that was given to us, which was, I think after this night, Kelsey, she said to me in passing, she goes, I don't get how the three of you are from 3 different continents, but you're the same amount of crazy. And it just like, it was the best thing that I'd ever heard. And I was like, that's amazing. And I immediately went to you guys. I told you what she said. And you guys were like, yes, that's us. And that's this picture right here.
It's even the title of this podcast.
It is the same amount of crazy. And we are, where is this? This is the common area. This is the
common area on the uni residence.
Yeah.
Where I think we only had one party there. And that was this party. It was a spontaneous party.
We are on top of a couch and just dancing, and everybody's just looking up at us, basically.
Photo.
Favel took this photo. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Favel took this photo, and she has allowed us to keep commenting on it for the past 13 years. So, okay. And so the story goes, when this photo was posted, we all loved it because it just encapsulated our energy so perfectly. We all was like, oh, this is the best photo. We love it. Oh my God. And I think, Dutchie, you said, let's do three-word story time.
Yes.
I'll start, and then you gave three words, and then I think I responded with another three words, and we just started doing this three-word story that just never ended. We just kept it going.
Never-ending story, like, where everyone contributes three words at the time.
And it was just Josh, Dutchie, and I. It was just the three of us going three words at a time. And we came up with the names Giuseppe and then Slesloopish, which was the other name that I was like, I have never heard of that word before. I don't know if that's even an actual name or just some made up thing. Giuseppe and a not Italian, Slesloopish, which I think is just a made up word, which all words are made up at some point or another. All names are made up. So it's keeping in terms with that. But we kept going, and it just kept getting more and more ridiculous and more ridiculous and more ridiculous that we were like, we have to show our creation to the world. So we started tagging other people in the photo so they would get the notifications to see the story, and they were mad at us.
Oh, yeah.
They were upset, untagging themselves and interrupting our story, which we didn't let stop us from just continuing. We didn't respond to any of the comments. We just responded to our own comments and just continued. And then Mark joined in. And then it became the four of us who kept the story going. And while there have been breaks, months breaks, like we haven't commented in 28 weeks.
Whose turn is it? It's your turn, Jeff.
It's my turn. It's my turn to comment on it. Comment on it. I'll comment on it.
Happily, he used his shirt to advertise the newest lifestyle brand.
Here's where we got.
It's a great setup.
Happily, he used his shirt to advertise the newest lifestyle brand. I'll edit this to make it seem like I came up with it right away.
no, you're not.
The newest lifestyle brand, Young Dutch Vlogs.
Young Dutch Vlogs.
Young Dutch Vlogs. His newest lifestyle brand.
YDF.
Young Dutch Vlogs. YDF. I don't know what vlogs are, but I'm going with it. Young Dutch Vlogs.
It's vlogs.
The newest lifestyle brand, Young Dutch Vlogs. And now it's Rob Jun's turn to give a little comment.
I liked it.
The name.
It's a fucking lifestyle brand. Young Dutch Vlogs.
YDF.
Why not DF?
What? Why DF?
Why not DF? Why the fuck?
Why the fuck?
So we've been doing that photo
for years,
and it's an incredible time capsule of our history of just like never letting something die. We just keep it going. And that I talked a little bit about with your dad. You know, we've all been dealing with our own country's lockdown and pandemic and everything like that. And we've been doing a weekly chat on our house party app, which has been amazing, that has kept me sane, like the weekly conversations that we've had, which was just every Saturday night or Sunday morning, depending on what country we're in, just talking and just shooting the shit, just having this relationship over the course of this past year has been amazing, because it had been a long time. Like, we had gotten together in Edinburgh when I was doing the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 2018. You guys came up to the festival and we got together again. And it was the first time the three of us had been in the same country in 10 years. And we have this photo. We recreated one of our favorite photos.
Every time I look at it, I feel like, it's pretty spot on.
It's good.
We did a pretty, I mean, see if you can, if you're watching this, see if you can guess which one's which. which one's 2008, which one's 2018. But we went around to some bars and we would show this photo and say, which one of us aged the best? And I remember.
I got the lowest score.
Did you get the lowest score? I think Dutchie got the highest score. I think Dutchie got the highest score.
I was pretty ugly when I was young. That's why.
And my favorite thing was when I asked, it was this Italian girl who I asked, which one of us aged the best? And she said to me, well, you've changed the least. Which is a completely different response.
Does not answer the question.
That doesn't answer the question, or it kind of does. You know, who's aged the best? Well, you haven't changed the most.
Well, you've aged the least.
You've changed the least. This was like a month or two after that first initial photo where it was like, you know, kind of the most normal version of the photo. And this was the photo we took. We're like, well, we know each other now. We don't have to be normal in photos anymore.
I still get chills thinking about that video of us dancing in that bar to Bill Withers in Edinburgh. That was causing a scene too, actually.
Oh yeah,
a lot of beer spilt everywhere. It was an afternoon. It was good.
That was a big moment when me and Dutchie were talking about this before you logged on, which was the end of my time at Res. I stayed like 2 weeks longer than everybody else did, and we made up the fact that we were going to tell everybody that I was Irish and try to convince the new international students that I was this Irish guy and we just went around and told people, like, pretend that Jeffrey's Irish, pretend that Jeffrey's Irish. I think your, Dutchie, I think we were in your common area.
Yeah.
And I had a keyboard in front of me. And you said, Dutchie, that I knew I was going to sing the Irish national anthem. And I was like, okay, I guess so. And I started just making it up, trying to sing in an Irish accent, which I just had be my Minnesotan accent, just faster. I was like, oh, sure, don't you know? Oh, I come from the land of rolling greens. Oh, sure. Oh, don't I chitty-tee potato. The Australians who knew me beforehand were laughing, and the new international students believed it. But Roger was like looking at me like he didn't believe. It was as if he didn't believe me. And I thought that he was going to call me out. And as I was singing, I noticed that I also had a shirt on that just said Kansas, University of Kansas on. I was like, well, this is going no, like, oh, fuck, I can't hide this any longer. But at the end of the song, he just bursts out laughing and just goes, man, you couldn't fake an accent like that. It worked. Oh, my gosh. You know? And then when we were in New Zealand, Dutchie continued that lie at an actual Irish pub, which we were at, who had actual Irish people at it. And he was like, oh, yeah, Jeffrey's from Ireland. And the Irish girls that were looked at me and were like, oh, really? What part of Ireland are you from? And I had this huge brain fart, just this huge, like, I was mad at Dutchie for like, you're going to make me be Irish to actual Irish. You know that I have a horrible Irish accent. Like, I'm not going to be able to pull this off.
You weren't mad. You're never mad at me.
Never mad, actually. But I was like, God damn it, Dutchie. And then, so with that brain fart, it was Edinburgh. And they just burst out laughing. And they go, oh, yeah, Edinburgh, Ireland. And I was like, I knew what I did. I was like, oh, fuck. But I went with it. I was like, oh, yeah. And you're from Dublin, Scotland, right? That's what it is. Trying to like save face. Like, I'm doing this on purpose. Of course I know which cities in which country. Of course. But before we got to New Zealand, Josh, you and I danced the night away at that bar, at the airport bar, to the Bill Withers. It was fucking incredible.
Of course. Absolutely. And that bar's still there, actually. Yeah. Don't obviously get to visit it very much, given that it's fucking COVID and it's all closed down. But you know, it holds a cherished place in my heart.
Mm.
Absolutely. Mm. Whenever I dance the night, I always think of the three of us together. Just like, because we would always just like, how can we make this party a dance party? How can we make this event? How can we make this dinner party a dance party? How can we make this solemn event a dance party? Whatever
how can we make life a dance party?
Exactly.
Perfectly said.
How can we make life a dance party? And I think we did a pretty good job of doing that everywhere we went.
Yeah, it was what, a short 4 or 5 months, and quite the impact, Jeff. Impact.
Well, because I was there from February to July. And it was the last week, the last 5 days was in New Zealand. Wow. And it was, yeah. And then I visited Holland to spend time with Dutchie. You have visited LA to be with me, and you guys have visited each other. You did a road trip in Australia after I left. And it's just like two of us have always found ways to visit each other in whatever iteration that we were in. And the Edinburgh in 2018 was the first time the three of us were able to get together again the three of us in one place, which was just the great, like, I was over the moon happy. I couldn't believe that we actually were able to make that happen. And I'm really excited for when we get to be together again in person. And I love you both. And I love the fact that we do this weekly. And I wanted to get this down because our relationship, our friendship, I think is something that transcends so many things. It's like, because again, three different continents, raised completely differently, no crossover with any part of our lives up until we meet in Australia. And it's just, we have that same energy. We have that same personality. And it's not like we're the same, but it's like everything that we do pushes the others to be our best selves, I think.
Exactly right.
That's well put.
Very well put, Jeff. And you know what? I fucking love you too, dude.
I fucking love you guys. And to close,
I fucking love you, cunts. All right? C-E-N-C-E.
Oh, yeah. That's... Josh has always given me the best comedic advice. I remember one time he's like, you know, you gotta get comfortable saying the word cunt. You know, just wake up in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, you gotta say cunt 26 times. Because when you say it, you kind of whisper it. You say it in that American way where people are sensitive. You're like, cunt. You just gotta look in the mirror and say, cunt, cunt, cunt. You gotta really do it. Really do it. Okay. And it was a treasure to me. And that's, you've given me advice on Australian sayings. Dutchie, you've given me advice on Dutch sayings. And why don't you give the listeners a bit of advice? Back when Obama was president, you were like, the phrase yes we can in Dutch is ja we kunt or something like that, right? some Dutch phrase like that. That's it. You wrote that out or something like that. How do you say yes?
Ja we kunnen. So it is almost ja we kunt.
Yeah, we kunt. Really got it.
Kunt. So look, if your advice, Boise, your advice to Jeff was just say kunt 26 times. Was
every morning
Barack Obama listening to that conversation? Is that what happened? He was like, oh, yeah, here we go. Here we go. I should use that. Cunt. Yes, we cunt. Yes, we cunt.
But then, of course, we have Dutchie giving us Dutch language lessons. The Dutch phrase that I know, the Dutch word that I know is gieter, which is watering can.
Yes.
Gieter, which, you know, I've been asked, why do you know that? It's like, I don't remember why I know that.
Yeah,
I remember.
I remember. You were sitting in my room. You are flipping through the pages, and it was a Dutch to English dictionary.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you go like, "Okay, this is the word I'm going to pick." And you said the word, and I had to guess the English word.
That's right.
And you said gieter, and I was like, "Do you mean like a watering can?" And you were like, "Yes, that's what I mean. That's exactly the translation." And gieter is like, it's got that Dutch, really, like Dutch is not a pretty language, I reckon.
It's a Germanic language. It's like Hebrew or German, where you get the ch's in there, the phlegminess.
Yeah, and you've picked a word out of my massive dictionary, and you picked a word with a hard G and a rolling R, gieter. And you just said, what do you think it is? I was like, I think you mean watering can. And you spot on.
And it stuck with me this whole time. And then when we were in Edinburgh, you taught us a new phrase.
Yeah.
Which is
four bips,
which means?
Well, it is another word for a vagina. And it literally means.
Directly translated,
it's a front bum. So four is front, and bips is a nice word for your bum. And it comes from a show, a children's show. It comes from a children's show where boys have a pee-pee and girls have a front bum.
Well, look.
Oh, my Lord.
You big bunch of all bips. I probably need to get going.
Yeah, so I love you both. I'm so glad that we were able to do this. Thank you for doing this. Joshua Boys, otherwise known as Boise. Jeroen Westerman, otherwise known as Dutchie. Jeffrey Baldinger, otherwise known as Jeffrey.
Spirit fingers for Jeffrey.
Spirit fingers. I love you guys. I love you guys so much. I'm so glad that you guys were able to do this. I could talk to you guys for hours and days and weeks and months and years. But I'll just I'll see you guys next week.
I love you. Well, it was a pleasure to do this, and I love you.
I love you.
Take care, everybody. Bye bye.
I love you.
Love you. Love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.
I love that.
Let's go driving along someday, shall we? Driving along. Whoa, driving along. Driving along. Whoa, driving along. Sing a driving song. You know, I like driving along. There's lots to see when you're driving along. Oh, look at that. Vroom, vroom, vroom.